It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is the party that is called California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. And, you know, I always joke about Mike's typos of the day on my show sheet. He had a twofer today. He wrote Dan Chigaloza. Well, I know it's Chigazola, so I didn't, and he fixed that. But then he had Dan, and I also know it's Don, because he's been with us many times. I consider him one of my dearest friends. But yet, I was just looking at the sheet going, Dan Chigazola. But it is Don. Good to see you again, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be back.
Also with us, Loris Traverso and Ornella Molone. Molone.
Yes. Sí, Molone.
Ah, grazie.
Ornella la mama de Loris.
Gotcha. It's Italian day again.
Yeah.
Kathy Ratto is here.
Hi. Oh,
another great Italian.
Hi.
And the greatest Italian in the studio, Steve Jackson. Even though Jackson's... It was Jacksoni, and then when my grandparents went to Ellis Island, they dropped the I.
That's right. And don't forget our friend Chris down in Southern California. He's
Chris
Italian
Di Matteo,
also.
Yes. Right. Hi, Chris. Okay. Let me have Dan tell the story before we get into it even deeper with Don about the wines of Italy that Don imports.
You can't simplify this process. You have to. Italian wines are a labor of love, and it's not a labor. It's just love. It has to do with loving the fact that wine is a diverse product, and every place in the world that grows wine grows a uniqueness that really is worth paying attention to. The Italian culture has been embedded with wine for so long. There was a book that came out about 5 years ago about Italian grape varieties. They listed about 700 or 800 Italian grapes that are being grown and being made into wine. This is just three of them, and these are fabulous wines, and they're simply not recognized for the quality, because most of the time we look to numbers. Somebody wants to know, how many points did that wine get? Well, Italian wines don't live or die by numbers. They live or die by the soil. And this is really an exciting area of the world, because it's not one of the most common known areas of Italy. It's a relatively obscure. It's a fabulous place to visit, because there's never any tourists there. And the nice thing is the wines are just delightful. So with that, I'm just going to turn it over to Don, because Don knows more about this than anybody, so why not?
Well, thank you, and great to be back. And it's actually been almost exactly 1 year ago, Steve, that Loris joined us for the first time. It was May 16th, and here we're on the 15th, so nearly a year ago.
Okay.
And I'm very excited to have Loris back, but especially because he brought his lovely mother, Ornella Molone, with him. And I'll leave it to... Loris to share with your audience the story of his mother.
Yes, please do. Put your mic condom on there and make sure you get closer to it, please.
How's this?
Perfect. Thank you. So, Loris, yeah.
Hi.
Tell us the story again.
Sure. Hi. Thanks, first of all, for the possibility to be here another time and be here with my mom. So it's always good. Well, the story, I would like my mom to talk, but she speaks Italian, and I need to translate. So, mom, di ciao, è il tuo nome, e poi io racconterò la storia di te e il papà.
Ok, buonasera a tutti, io sono Ornella Molon e vi porto i saluti dall'Italia e vi mando un grande bacio. Adesso Loris vi racconterà un po' la storia nostra, della nostra azienda e dei nostri vini.
So my mom just says hi and she brings regards from Italy and send a kiss. So my parents started in the wine business in 1982. My father comes from constructions and my mother was making trousers in a factory. So nothing to do with wine.
Wow.
But
wow.
When they got married in 1977, they received the vineyards from my grandparents. So my father kept making wine for the family and friends. And then friends became customers, so they got to a point where they decided to open the winery in 1982. So my mom stopped working in the factory, my father stopped working in constructions, and they focused 100% in the family business, the winery. So how everything started.
But when your mother and father went to register the business with the Chamber of Commerce, it was a real moment, I think, for your family and for the wine business in the Veneto.
Yes, it was, because as my mom, I would like my mom to say that in Italian, it was a strange thing, you know, a business with a female name, you know, and my mom was put in charge of the business. So we're talking about the 80s, so it was like when my father went to the Chamber of Commerce in Treviso to register the name, the people there asked, are you sure? Well, what are you doing? You are putting the name of the business with your wife's name. So are you sure you want to do that? And my father said,
this was 82? Yeah. It sounds more like 1882.
I have a story about that, actually.
Okay, well, hold on.
No, so, you know, and my mom will say that she had to prove herself at the winery. Customers were going there to buy the wine and, you know, like, oh, there is a woman here selling wine. What do you know about wine? What, you know, are you capable to talk about wine? So my mom said it was very hard, but it's been good because she had to prove herself and she proved everyone that she was capable to do what she was there for. So, and wow, that what she says to women nowadays, keep fighting, you know, show yourself who you are and show everyone that, you know, you value. So,
wow, what a cool story. And where do you folks live now? Are you back in Italy? Are you here?
Oh, yes. Oh, no. This is a short trip with my mom to visit our friends and customers as well. But we are fine. Wine. What do you know? We're based in Italy in the Veneto region, just 30 minutes outside Venice town. So,
ooh,
yes.
Nice.
Then whoever comes to Venice, 30 minutes from the winery, just let us know and you will be very welcome.
I'll be there.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Very special place, too, Steve. Their villa and their cantina is the former summer house of the Doge of Venice.
And Doge?
The Doge of Venice. So it has historical significance. It's absolutely spectacular. And they're trying to do a construction project right now to add some rooms and make it a B&B as well. And being a historical building, let's just say it's run into some slowdowns because of the historical label it has put on it.
Now, that is in Treviso.
Yep, the province.
So
the province
of Treviso. I stayed in Treviso in 1972.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And toured the area. It is a delightful little town. It's the place where people who don't want to run into problems in Venice stay, because it's only, what, about an hour's drive?
Yes, correct.
It's a wonderful little town. I love it.
And if you go to their cantina and their villa, you will find they have, it's one of the few that I know of that has on-site an osteria. Mm-hmm. And if you go in the osteria, you will find Ornella in the kitchen cooking.
I'll be there again. I'm just going to keep saying that. Oh, my God. Loris Traverso Ornella Moloni?
Esatto. Molonna. Ornella Molonna. Con la
Molonna.
Molonna. Okay.
Well, it's great to see you, Loris, and wonderful to meet you, my dear. Dave Cigalosa.
Don.
Cigalosa. I'm just giving him grief right now. Don Cigalosa is back with us. You're based in Windsor?
Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa. Okay.
Yeah, no.
And how did you start this being an Italian wine importer, and how did you meet these folks?
So I retired from the tech world about 8 years ago, but while I was still working, I would vacation in Italy. I'm Italian heritage. I would vacation in Italy and would find these fantastic wines out in the countryside. that were absolutely tremendous. If when we came home, I could not find the same quality. And when I did some research, I found out that a lot of the Italian wines that make it to the shelves here in the States are from the very large producers.
Yeah.
And yet I'm tasting wines from these small family producers with a deep heritage in winemaking.
Right on.
So decided to follow my passion for Italian wine. And when I retired from the tech world, started the wine import company with my son. And so now we literally drive the back roads of Italy looking for families just like the Malone Traverso family here who make fantastic wines of native Italian varieties and that are a great representative of the region that they're in.
So you've been doing this...
Eight years now. Yeah.
Wow.
The secret to Don's business is that it's not difficult to do as long as you have a number of things going for you. Number one, you have to have a passion for Italian wine, which lots of people do. You also have to be able to speak fluent Italian, which Don does. But more importantly, going for the quality of these wines is really going for small producers, as Don just pointed out. The larger producers are more than happy to have distribution in the United States, but the larger producers are also looking to sell more of one thing and not more of the smaller things. The large production items are what you see on grocery shelves, grocery and supermarket shelves. You won't find Don's wines on supermarket shelves because supermarkets have to have a hand-sell situation, and the people who stock the shelves don't know anything about these wines.
Right.
So you have to go to small shops, and it's worth it because these wines are great.
Where are most of these wines available retail-wise in Sonoma County, let's say, or in wine country since we're...
Well, number one, they could buy directly from our website.
Right.
I sell direct to consumer. But
which is DaveGatton.com. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But they could also find my wines at Oliver's. They have a very good wine program there. And then a few restaurants in town here. You can find them at Riviera Restaurant in Montgomery and Cabianco Restaurant on 2nd Street.
Oh, I love that place.
You could also find them at Bottle Barn.
Bottle Barn, I've heard of it. They are the sponsor of California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today, Don Cigazzola, Loris Traverso, and Ornella Malona. Did I get it right?
Malone.
Malone. Oh, I thought you said...
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm losing it. My real last name is Vicario.
Well, we did follow the cannabis show, so I'm...
all bets are off after that.
We have to clear the studio out.
Let's talk about this Rosata, a rosé.
Yes.
It is. So what you have in your glass right now, Steve, is their 2017 Veneto Rosato. And I'm actually going to ask Loris to tell us what... is this wine?
So the Rosato we are presenting here today, but also in the United States market, is a Rosato or Rosé of Cabernet Franc. So Cabernet Franc for us in the northeast of Italy, Veneto and Friuli region, it's a red grape varietal that it's very important to us. You can go anywhere in the northeast, bars, osteria, restaurants, and you can always find a Cabernet Franc by the glass or in the bottle. So my father wanted to give extra value to this grape varietal, and he decided to do not just the red wine varietal, but also the Rosato varietal of Cabernet Franc. So nice, dry, very thin bubbles.
It's bubbly.
Yes.
For a rosé.
Something that you will not... first time I have run across with a rosé, this is a frizzante.
Okay, yes. Dan, I mean, all the rosés that everyone's making here are not bubbly.
Very few are by design. This one is obviously made intentionally this way, but the reason for it is that this wine has such wonderful acidity, and the bubbles here make it even crisper. So what you end up with is a really dual experience. You buy a bottle, you start to drink it, it's bubbly. And then after about an hour, the bubbles start to go away, and it gets even better because it's still the same rosé. It just doesn't have any bubbles anymore. So you have two experiences with the same.
You got to love that.
Bottle, yeah,
yeah. You get the bubbles for a while, and then you get
the still
more
wine.
Like a yeah, exactly.
And the still wine is really fascinating. I mean, if you stirred it up with a spoon, you'd get rid of the bubbles faster, and then you would find that the wine is equally interesting, but it just is a whole different experience.
It's beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
This is a 2017, I should say.
Correct.
Correct,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is their latest release.
And your mother's name is on the label.
Absolutely.
That's the name of the winery?
Correct, yes. Okay. So the name of my mother is also the name of the winery.
Ornella Molone.
Perfetto. Perfetto.
You know, it's funny because my grandfather, Vincenzo Vaccario, we grew up in Detroit, and he made wine all the time since I was a little nipper, you know, until he passed away. He made it at home, and, you know, at dinner on Sundays, he'd go, Stevie, come here.
Yeah.
You know, yep. You got to have some wine, and my mother would go, oh, Pop, don't. You know, that's probably not a good idea. I was like 9 years old. But that happens a lot in Italy, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we make sure, you know, that the children start very young. It doesn't mean they have to get alcoholic, you know. You know,
you're not getting them drunk here.
No, it's a tiny sip, you know, every time. And, you know, and then when they are, by the time they're 18, they are okay to understand about wine. That's the important thing. You know, everything in moderation is always good.
And in Italy, it's an Italian food and wine culture. They really go together. The wines, the Italian wines are really produced to be paired with food, to be enjoyed with food. I enjoy them also all by themselves quite often, but they're really meant to be enjoyed with food.
Yeah, I was looking at this label, Rosata.
Right? Rosato.
Rosato. Not to be confused with, oh, see, I'm stoned. Never mind. I'll get back to it. What else do we have? Because this is really good. It's a 2017 Italian rosé with bubbles, and then it becomes a still wine.
So it's always good.
Oh, the next wine we have brought to share with you is their newest release, 2017 Pinot Grigio, from their second Cantina in the family, and their second label, Vigna Traverso, up in Friuli. And
where's Friuli?
Friuli is up against the border with Slovenia.
Wow.
So a far
it used
north
to be the crossing between Slovenia and Italy was there are two towns there. There's Novo Gorica and Gorizia.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. And they are twin towns with a very limited border between. There's just a little road. And when you go between the two towns, you see the noticeable difference. Slovenia tends to be a country that used to be under communist rule and now is rather well-to-do. But the Italian culture really becomes evident when you finally get into Italy and you start to see the impressive, most impressive Italian wine influence throughout that region. Now, Slovenia is beginning to have a wine culture, but it's very, very, very new. And it doesn't anywhere near match the history and the heritage that's up there in the northern part.
And I just realized what I was trying to say, which the risotto, not to be confused with the risotto, but man, would I love a glass of that with some good risotto.
That would be nice.
For decades, Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa has been providing Sonoma County with an unmatched selection of the finest wines, beers, and spirits. With everyday low prices and the best product knowledge around, Bottle Barn is the best place to find the most amazing deals in wine country. In fact, Bottle Barn is where wine country buys their wine. Every week on The Drive, when I ask winery owners, vintners, and winemakers where listeners can buy their wines, they say Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. And the prices are always the lowest anywhere, trust me. If you're not shopping at Bottle Barn, you're missing out on the best deals, not only on wine, but every kind of beer and spirits. Check out their craft beer section. Wow. And remember, Bottle Barn can ship wine to most states. Go to bottlebarn.com for details and all the great specials every week.
And listen to California Wine Country every Wednesday at 5 on The Drive. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. And I want to remind you about Della Tofola. Hello, friends at Della Tofola. If your winery or brewery is in equipment planning mode for this year, consider Della Tofola. For more than 60 years, they've been making equipment for the wine, beer, and beverage industries. They do it worldwide, but they're based right here in Santa Rosa, offering high-quality equipment, experienced technicians, and they're great people. Most weeks when we have winery owners and winemakers on, I ask them about Della Tofola, and they go, oh, yeah, they saved my butt once because of their equipment and their experienced technicians. And again, they are worldwide, but based in Santa Rosa, everything from crushers to conveyors and pumps to presses, filters, fillers, and complete packaging solutions. It's a great company, and they've been around a long time, 60 years worldwide, based in Santa Rosa. DellaTofola.us. DellaTofola.us. California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today, our good friend Don Chigazola is here. And Loris Traverso is back with his mom, Ornella Molon. And Dan, talk about this 2017 Pinot Grigio. How does this differ, this Italian Pinot Grigio, how does it differ from the ones that are made in our area?
Well, two things. The ones that are coming from California are fermented with much riper grapes. They start with much riper grapes, and the end result is a floral component. So there tends to be more florality, which means that they tend to be more, I would say, alluring in the aroma department. But the underlying acidity is rarely as high as it needs to be this style. So this is the Italian style, but of them, there are two Italian styles. There's the one Italian style that comes from massive quantities of wines growing on the same property. And then there is the cold climate, small production, and that's what this is. This is very, very high quality wine that doesn't represent California in any way. It's Pinot Grigio, not Pinot Gris. And the difference, really more than anything else, is cold climate, higher acidity, much more likely to go with food. Think shellfish. This stuff is fabulous with
Mike,
shellfish.
Will you get some lobster? Yeah, I love this.
Just a wonderful wine. Just superb.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And it comes from one of the two coolest regions in Italy. When you get to the far north, when you're actually looking at the Alps, it's cold pretty much at night, and you can retain all that beautiful acidity without losing a thing. In fact, you pick up aromatics. And the same goes for Alto Adige, which is another region that's sort of in the Austrian Alps.
Loris, how was this made? I mean, give us the background of this fabulous wine.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we are in the Friuli region, so we are the far region at the northeast of Italy, but at the border with Slovenia, but still in Italy. We are around 160 meters above the sea level. The vines of Pinot Grigio, we have a mix of very old vines and new vines. The ground up there, it's called Ponca, P-O-N-C-A, Ponca. That's the name of the terroir. In English, you could call it Marl, M-A-R-L, and that's it. A rock terroir.
It's sort of in the.
It doesn't keep the water. It attracts the sun and releases the warmth during the night when the temperature goes down. So it gives a great minerality to the wine, a good acidity, like Dan said earlier. Here with this Pinot Grigio, we only do stainless steel maturation. So you have
no barrels at all.
No.
And that's what's secret. The secret
really?
Is keeping the fruit. If you put it in the barrels, you start to lose something.
Yeah, no, we... our philosophy for the whites is not to use oak. And we use our oak for the red wines, French oak.
Yeah.
We use barriques, so small size wooden
barrels. Makes sense. All the wines we're talking about today are available from Don Chigazola, Santa Rosa importer of Italian wines. It's a Chigazola merchants.com.
Correct.
That's easy. And you, as you said, some of these wines are available in certain places like Bottle Barn and some restaurants. And
correct. In fact, this Pinot Grigio, they pour it by the glass at Sitai Bistro over in Montgomery Village.
That's Dan's place. That's where he's going tonight.
Tonight we're going to actually get together with these folks for some Italian food.
Oh, nice. Where are you going?
Cabianca,
where else?
Cabianca and La Coco's. The two best restaurants.
Yeah. Well, you can. Riviera goes in there too.
Riviera, yeah.
God, this Pinot Grigio is
just goes on and on and on. The aftertaste is really not based on any barrels. It's based on the fact that the grapes have so much flavor, but the acidity is what keeps the wine lively. And so all you want to do is get some mussels or shrimp or whatever. This is really delicious stuff.
And Loris, this is the label is Traverso.
Correct, yes.
So this is a label separate from the one with your mother's name?
Correct, yes. So my parents have a winery each. They are not divorced yet. And my father will say that...
Just keep drinking wine, my dear, and it'll all be fine.
Okay.
My father says it's a good thing for a long marriage, you know, not fighting. Everyone has his own winery. Joke.
Every couple should have their own winery. I've been telling my wife that.
Jokes aside. My father was looking at the Friuli region at the beginning of the 90s. And he finally bought what is called today Vigna Traverso, which is our family name, Traverso, in 1998. So he was looking for that area for the white wines. Back in the 90s, the white wines from the Friuli region were very well known around the world. And my father believed a lot in that region, and that's the reason why he purchased the winery. It's very small. It's... between my mother's winery and my father's it's an hour and 15 minutes driving, like 120 kilometers, going north again on the border with Slovenia. We own 54 acres and we produce around 8,000 cases per year. So it's a very small production. Yes, indeed.
Don Chigazola, the Santa Rosa Italian wine importer, back with us. And so is Loris Traverso, Ornella Molone, his mother.
Yes. Correct, yes.
Is here, too.
My boss.
You're not... I'm Italian, I can relate. Traverso, you know, we have an iconic Sonoma County family named Traverso.
I heard.
Are you related? You're not related.
No,
but who knows? We're all related, I think.
In some ways, probably. Yeah. Well, driving up here yesterday, I talked to my mom about Traverso in Santa Rosa, and mom comes up and says, oh, yes, you know, like, 19 years ago, I got in touch with the Traverso with a very nice deli in Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. and they kept our wines for a while. So, and, you know, she comes up like, God, you should have told me that. Mamma mia. You know, I have to change my time visit because I really would like to meet with them. But every time I come, they are in Italy or somewhere else around the United States.
Yeah, they're all cool people.
Good.
We really miss that deli, too, by the way, I got to say. Don, talk about this one.
So I just poured in your glass, Steve, a red, and this is one of the most interesting varietals that I have brought in since I've been doing this business.
Raboso.
The name of the grape is Raboso. It is a very particular, very unique variety indigenous to the Veneto, and specifically indigenous to the area around the Piave River where their cantina and their villa is located. Dan could talk more about the characteristics of this wine, but it is extremely unique. It is this is a 2012 vintage.
Yeah.
This is about the first year this wine.
Yeah, you can't drink them younger than this.
No,
really.
This has got the profile of Petite Syrah written all over it in terms of drinkability, because if you drink a young Petite Syrah, you're in for what you get, and so you have to wait a few years. This stuff is not like Petite Syrah in any way. What it is a dark red wine that tastes like a light red wine because of all the acidity that's here. This is outrageously high acidity, and that's what gives it its personality. So this has lots of minerality. Usually you use the word minerality to refer to white wine. Here is a red wine with minerality, and you've got acidity that'll match up with anything with tomatoes in it. I don't care what you're eating, if it's red meat with tomatoes or lamb or even...
Or my spaghetti sauce.
Your spaghetti sauce would be great. Or even if you were to have a pepperoni pizza with red sauce on it, you need a wine like this because it cuts through all the acid. It gives you balance for the meat. It's fabulous wine. It's just terrific. I don't know how you can explain this to anybody, but Don, you've got the biggest problem is just explaining what this is. It is so wonderful to taste, but the first thing you think of is food.
Well, and then I frequently ask, well, what would you compare it to? And honestly, you cannot compare this to anything that is here in the States.
No, this is unique to me, I'm telling you.
Dan mentions the high acidity. This actually is an ancient varietal and was known as the traveling wine because hundreds of years ago, before refrigeration, the merchants could travel the world with this in their casks, and even without refrigeration, it lasted a very long time.
It was preserved without cooling.
With the acidity.
Preserves you too.
Yes. But, Loris, maybe you could tell us more about how this has grown.
Loris, please.
Yes. Well, Raboso, first of all, thanks to...
It sounds like you guys are saying bozo, which I just want to tell everyone listening, it's... There's an S there. It has nothing to do with the clown making wine. It's R-A-B-O-S-O, Raboso.
Raboso, yes. Yeah. Raboso. So, first of all, I would like to say thank you to Don, because when he tasted the Raboso at Vinitaly last year, he said, give me something that it's unknown, something indigenous from the Veneto region. And I said, well, do you know Raboso? And he wasn't familiar with that, so I told him that's the good chance to try the Raboso. And then, you know, he was very happy with the quality, and he decided to import this grape varietal in the United States. And we are very grateful to him. Raboso has been the main grape varietal in the Veneto region for many, many, many years. It got famous thanks to the Venetians. Apparently, in a cellar in London, in Great Britain, have been found bottles, very old bottles, like 200 years old. And they...
Wow.
Raboso wine. Who knows if it's still good. But they were, because some representative from London were like the ambassador of the UK in the Republic of Venice, when Venice was an independent republic.
Right.
So, you know, something that's very important, very historical. So, and the Raboso kept being very important for the economy of the Veneto region until the 70s of 1900. And then Veneto for many, 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 many years. Famous as to the Venetian, I have to say that, unfortunately, like the wineries, instead of to be united and promote this grape varietal, to promote this great wine, they prefer to move to the easier grape varietals, such as Merlot, Cab, Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
All easier wines to sell. And the Raboso grape has gone down the hill. Thank God, you know, we are my mother's winery and other few wineries in the Piave area where we are, which is also the name of a river and the appellation of the area, believed and thought to bring back this grape varietal. And so now you go around to the wineries in the Piave area in Veneto region and you can find this Raboso grape and why?
I've been trying to roll my R's for 50 years. I can't do it. I love it. I love it when you do it.
You need to drink more Rebozo, and those R's will start to roll.
And this is under your mother's. This is your mother's Ornella Molone Winery, available through Santa Rosa with Don Chigazola.
Correct. It's only available on my website currently. There is no other retailer currently carrying it. This is brand new to the area, and I don't know, Dan, if you've run across anybody else importing a Rebozo, but
no, I don't.
I've not.
I don't think I've ever seen a Rebozo in the United States. There is a thing called Rebozo Veronese,
yes,
which is not the same exact grape variety, but what I've heard about it is that it's not as good as the Piave. If you want to compare, the Piave is supposed to be the better.
And, Loris, Piave again, explain that.
Yes, so Piave, it's the name of the area where we are with the winery, is in the Treviso province. It's the name of the appellation for the wines, and also it's the name of a very important river, and historically talking for us, in the Veneto region.
Okay. Ornella, will you tell us your thoughts about making this wine and what it's all about in Italian, and then he'll translate.
Vuoi parlare del Rebozo, il fatto della produzione in italiano e cosa pensi del vino e poi io tradurrò.
I love this.
Certo, certamente con molto piacere. Allora, sì, il Rebozo è un vitigno antichissimo che rappresenta proprio la terra e la gente del Piave. È una vite che è molto robusta, che è passata attraverso le guerre, attraverso le siccità, e racconta un po' la storia del nostro territorio. È l'ultima uva che noi raccogliamo a fine ottobre, primi novembre, ed ha una buccia veramente resistente. E ci dà la possibilità proprio di fare con questa uva di fare un vino di grande interesse, di grande forza e di grande durata nel tempo e negli anni. Voi vedete che anche questo è un 2012, ha un colore ancora vivacissimo, un colore molto vivo, sembra un'uva, un vino vendemmiato ieri.
Loris?
Yes, my turn now. So,
did you get all that?
Oh, yes, I got that. Now I have to translate it. So, yeah, after a few glasses of
wine. Salud.
Evviva, evviva. After a few glasses of good wine, I should be able to translate. So, mom said that, yes, Rebozo really represents not just the area, the Piave area, but also its people. So, the people that live in the Piave area. The Rebozo, it's an historical grape, a historical wine. The vines are very historical. When we had Phylloxera in 1800, Rebozo didn't have any problems at all. It was very strong, and the vines survived.
They're tough.
Yes.
Mothers.
You, yeah, oh, yes, very much.
Well, I didn't mean your mother.
No, okay.
You know what I mean.
Yes, they are very, very strong. Well, Rebozo, it's also what Mom said, it's the latest grape varietal that we harvest. It can be at the end of October, middle of November. The skin is thick, it's crunchy, so it's the last grape that get matured, and that's the reason why it's the last grape that we harvest. And so you get a wine that has a very good acidity. What we are tasting now, it's 2012. And as my mom said, it's like it was made yesterday. You can forget this wine if you can. You try to forget the wine in the cellar for other 10 years, and it will just be fantastic like now.
This is California Wine Country. Don't forget, we have a podcast where you can listen to every episode, where any great podcast is offered, and you can also go to calwinecountry.com. We only got a few minutes left. It's time for Searching Dan's Cellar for some old stuff. Dan Lay It Down Burger. That's what I call him.
Okay.
Well, all right. What's laying the it deal down on is this
risk,
thing?
You know,
this is 83?
1983 Sycamore Creek Fumé Blanc. Now, I didn't intend to lose this bottle this long. We bought about five of these or four of these. I don't know. We drank them over the years. They were fine until about 10 years ago. And then I lost this thing. So this I went in the bottom of this way back in the cellar.
Dan, I have to say officially, worst wine of the day.
Well, there's no question about that, worst wine of the day. But I will say that it's held up reasonably well considering it's Sauvignon Blanc. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc, 12% alcohol.
But during the break, you said this is going to die in 3 minutes.
You got 10 minutes to go on this stuff.
I don't want to go 10 minutes with this.
I'm sorry. You can just finish it then. Spanish have a word for this. This is rancio. So this is the sherried component of a wine that's on its way out the door. And this wine was okay about 10 minutes ago when I opened it, and it's now really losing it. You can see the color is already
gone. So am I, Dan.
Well, you know, as you pointed out when you started this segment, this is on you. You said, let's do this, and I'm telling you, I told you at the time, there's going to be some hit and miss, and there's going to be a lot of miss.
I love it. I love it. We got to go into Dan's cellar every
red
week.
Red wine is easy. It's tough to do white.
By the way, our webmaster down in Southern California, Chris DiMatteo, is going to summarize Ornella's story in English on the podcast page, calwinecountry.com, or anywhere where podcasts are offered. We only got a minute.
Subscribe.
Don Chigazola. It's chigazolamerchants.com. You really need to go there. Check out what's available. Some of it is only available there. Some of it is at Bottle Barn and some fine restaurants. But Don,
that entire portfolio that's on your wine on your website is really impressive. There's some stuff there that you can't find anywhere for that kind of price anywhere in this country. So he's really doing a job, and it's really great to be friends with Don because I get to drink some really good wine.
I understand. Don, always a pleasure, buddy.
Thank you.
Sorry, I called you Dan.
That's okay.
That's Mike's thing.
You know,
give him grief. Loris Traverso and Ornella, thank you so much. Grazie. And just buona sera, and it's great to see you again, and come back as soon as you're back.
Grazie mille. Thank you very much
Thank
again
you.
For the opportunity to be here.